As we march toward a greater understanding, for the Bible says, in all thy getting, do what? Get an understanding. As we march toward a greater understanding of who we are, sons and daughters, joint heirs, or better yet, whose we are, there is something that we must discover about ourselves. That is, we are in need of him. That has been this statement all over the year that has proven to be vastly true, that we are in need of him. And the only way to find him is to acquire a seek. This may sound like a redress, but I must stay in a position or a posture of seek. This is a very pivotal time in our lives, a very pivotal time in our seasons, a very pivotal time in our day. We must stay in seek. Some of us are at the valley of can't return. Some of us at the valley of I'm getting older and I don't have the energy to take what it needs to be. I don't have the time or the energy to waste. There must be something quicker happening for me, but it has to do with my seek. For what I need, thank you, Jesus, for what I need is tied up in my seek. My future is tied up in my seek. My ability to be able to navigate what is next for me is tied up in my seek. Not my let's see what happens. Because oftentimes, people of God, we just say, okay, let's see what happens. But the Bible declares, and he says this, the Bible says, for he knows the plans concerning you. So if there's plans concerning you, we should not be in the mindset of let's see what happens. Because you should not want to experiment with your life. Oftentimes, we have a life of experimentals. Excuse me. We have a life full of experimentals. We have tried things, and things have not gone our way. We have added a little this, taken away a little that. We have put some over here, and it didn't work. And we've added a little, taken a little away. And we've been experimenting on our own things and with our own future and with our own generation's future because we decided to experiment and not seek. Sure enough, experiment does have its place. But it's nothing like knowing the plans or the heart of God. You heard Pastor say, if you want to know what's in the hand of God, seek after the heart of God. Because if you began to seek after the heart of God, then you will know what's in his hand. But oftentimes, we, the believer, we want his hands first and his heart later. But I'm declaring to you tonight, and I'm preaching to you tonight, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there must be a deeper seek. See, sometimes you're in the middle of, the reason why there must be a seek, because you're in the season of your yes. And when you're in the season of your yes, things are going to happen to you that you may not even expect. When you give God a yes and you tell God, God, I'm going to live my life for you and I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And then you run into situations and you want to get out. No, you're in the middle of your yes, but your yes has to connect you to a seek to say, God, if this didn't work for me now, what am I doing that is not working for me? What have I done that it is not working for me? Oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, what happens is we ask God why, but we don't ask God how. Or we don't ask God, how did it happen? We should ask God, why did it happen? Father, because did I not seek your face for it? Because I can hear God say, did you not seek after me for it? Because what God wants for you, it is for sure, it is absolute, and it is full of truth. I'll say it again. What God wants for you, it is for sure. It is absolute, and it is for sure. The reason why you and I oftentimes, and I'm learning this, Jesus asked Paul a question. He said, Paul, why do you kick against the prick? Now, I didn't understand it at first. I used to hear it all the time when I was a kid, but when I did, my people down south, They have animals. They have farmland. They have farm animals. And they would put a rock in front of the gate. Now, mind you, can't no big old gate stop no big old cow. But the cow would oftentimes try to kick against the prick. So what he would do, he would hit, he was wound himself trying to go the wrong way when all you had to do is make a sound. And then whoever was keeping you would come to your rescue. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we are not making the right sound. I'm going to tell you that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask the question. Are you making the right sound to get your deliverance? Are you making the right sound that's going to bring you to your next? It must be a seek. And why you said I'm a preacher? I'm glad you asked that. See, we should not live in now. Let's see what things happen. This is why he said, acknowledge me in all thy ways and I will direct your path. Notice here, he said, notice the word here. He said, if you will. Hallelujah. I like when God drops certain phrases on me. I like when God drops certain phrases on us. He said, if you ask me. And it's different. God said, he didn't say, if you ask God. He didn't say, if you ask the leader of the armies of Israel. He didn't say, if you ask the life giver. He said, did you ask me? That indicates to me that there's a personal God, a personal Jesus that wants to be involved with you. He said, did you ask me? See, and I know that because if you're in a relationship with anybody and something happens, they said, did you ask me? Because when you ask that person, you and me are coming to a face-to-face. God wants you and me to have face in face. Why? Because when you and I have face to face with God, he becomes the personal you, the one who knows you, the one who knew you before you was, and the one that knows how you should live. Hallelujah. Or maybe have you really come to know him at the level? Oh my God. Have you come to know him at a certain level? He will give you. What happens is you and I need to embrace the love thought of God concerning you and me so we can think on a higher thought, so we can move on a higher plane, for we can have encounters with his love thoughts, because the encounters of God with his love thoughts will cause God to stretch out in you. I'll say it again. You and me, my brothers, last week God gave us this. He kept saying there must be an encounter with God, because when there is encounters with God, there will be impartations. And when there are impartations, there will be gifts in the impartation. There are keys in the impartation that will unlock doors for you. So what God was saying to us, my brothers, what he's saying now, even in the beginning of my introduction, and really, I'm almost really done, is that God's saying, I need you to come encounter with the love thoughts that I have for you. And when you come encounter with the love thoughts that I have for you, you'll find out that your seeking, hallelujah, will give you all the answers, because I am the great answer. I'll say it again. The reason why God wants you to seek him out, the reason why God wants you to have encounters with him, because he is the great answer. And when you hang around the great answers, you will know. I mean, really, somebody said, you think you know everything. No. But I hang around enough answers so that somebody, when they ask me, I can give you a point of reference. So what God is saying, if you hang around enough answers, when you ask me, I can point you to. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So when you ask me, I can point you to. That's why he says, but seek ye first. And I like this, and I'm really finna go home. He says, I like this, because what happens is God wants you to seek him first. Why? For you can have encounters and impartations. Lay your hands on yourself and say, encounters and impartations. Come on, don't be lazy. Lay your hands on yourself and say, encounters and impartations. Because when you have encounters and impartations, your ability to seek will raise another level. Because you'll say, wait a minute, I sought God here. And because I searched after God here, this happened. And because this happened, I believe if I searched after him like that again, something more in my life will happen and begin to develop for me. Here in Matthew 6, he says, but seek ye first. Now, that caught my attention because I was just caught up in the seek ye first. And I had my hands raised up, and I was having a praise service and a worship service. But the Lord said, go back to the text, and I need you to see the first. He says, but seek ye first. See, that word but there is a very interesting word because that word but has many meanings. For example, you can use but as a conjunction. A conjunction goes like this. Like he stumbled, like he stumbled and he didn't fall, but he didn't fall. That means a nevertheless or even so. The word but can also be used as a preposition, a meaning that says apart or other than. But can also be used as an adverb, simply saying, you know what an adverb is, merely or simply. But can also be used as a noun. You know, there is no buts here. Hallelujah. But as many meanings as you can apply to but to this scripture, I like us. God is leaving us no excuse. He said, but if you make that scripture a conjunction, it would sound like this. It would sound like this. Nevertheless, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. If you make it a preposition, it would sound like this. When all things are apart, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. If you make it a noun, it would say, but these, thank you, Jesus. It would say, but these, glory, good God Almighty, but these things seek, oh my God. He said, but these things seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Jesus is all about seeking something out. Oh, if you want something from God, there must be a seek. Jesus letting you and I know, this text, through this holy writ, that if you and I are able going to accomplish anything, it's got to be sought after. Oh my God, when you go get an education, you seek after it. When you want to learn something that is deep and expiring, you want to go seek after it. Even when you're trying to have a relationship with somebody, you go seek after it. Why? Because it's in the seek that you begin to gain knowledge. It's in the seek that you begin to understand why you're after that person, and what connection you and that person have in the seek. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, I'm finishing. When you understand that God is full of encounters, that God is full of impartations, you and I should be hungry to say, I'm seeking after my encounter. I'm seeking after my impartation. And I'm going to stand around the altar of the Holy Ghost until I get what God has for me. I'm going to seek here. See, that is why he said these things come out with fasting and praying. Why? Because fasting is another area of seeking. See, praying is another area of seeking. Those are keys to release the avenue of whatever God has for you, for your life, for your family's life, for your generation, and the things you are to generate. It is in the seek of God, because God wants to give you encounters. God wants to give you impartations. So many of us, my brothers and sisters, I'm coming to an end. So many of us, God, I want you to know that so many of us have missed out on our life's privileges because of non-encounters. See, encounters are cycles. There should be a cycle of you and God having conversation, a cycle of you and God being together, a cycle of you and God, because if you ever get into a cycle with you and God, the things outside won't bother you so much. The things outside won't discourage you so much. Why? Because you know, oh, I may be discouraged on the outside, but on the inside, there is a building of an impartation going on. See, on the inside, there is an encounter with God going on that's allowing me to see myself beyond this right here. There's an encounter and an impartation going on with God that allows me to see my future. There's an encounter and an impartation with God that allows me to see myself living the level in which God has ordained for me, because I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And because I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I got to have encounters, because encounters intensifies the joint. Encounters intensifies, glory to God. That's why I said the fervent, fiery prayer of the righteous availeth much. Why? Because I'm having an encounter with God. We were having worship just a few minutes ago, and I had to pull myself out. And I laid on the floor for just a few minutes, and I was like, oh my God, I'm on camera, I'm on camera, I'm on the floor, and God said, but have an encounter. Is that more important than having an encounter with me? Have an encounter, and God wants to get you to the point where it doesn't matter who's watching, where it doesn't matter what's going on. He wants you to have an encounter. Even at the grocery store, minding your own business, God will come right smack dab in the middle of Walmart, right smack dab in the middle of Costco, and have an encounter with you. And you'll be like, God, you really talking to me? Yes. Why? Because you have offered me a time. You have put yourself in a place, in a position, and a posture to have encounters with God. Brothers and sisters, as I finish this text, there was one person who particularly blows my mind when it comes to having encounters with God. His name was the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul was on his way. Just hallelujah. The Apostle Paul was on his way to a revival. But he was on the way to the revival not to be converted, but to kill the saints. He was on his way to a village, and they were having outbreaks of the Holy Spirit in such a way. And Paul said, this thing got to stop. Saul said, this thing has to stop. And so Paul got on his horse, and while he was on his horse, he had a blinding encounter with God. And I believe that's how God wants to do you and me, give you and me such a blinding encounter with him that all of a sudden we don't walk the same way, that we got to, search and seek out. Oh my goodness, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's why, my God, when you have an encounter with God, it shall be a blinding experience. Why? Because now I cannot use my own natural senses to be able to feel my way through this. I cannot use my own natural proclivities to be able to feel my way through this. When you have a blinding experience with God, now you're no longer operating on your own systems. Now you have to operate on the system of God. And when you begin to operate on the systems of Jesus Christ, you begin to have encounters with God. And I like saying that after my new system, oh my God, I'm having a systems upgrade. Look at your neighbors and neighbor, I'm having a systems upgrade, because this is why my stuff keep glitching, because God is calling me for an encounter. Matter of fact, the other day I looked at my phone, and my phone gave me an indication that you had upgrades, that there's an encounter that they want to have with me in order for me to get an upgrade. And I believe God is saying the same thing to you, my brothers and my sisters. There are many things that I have in store, many things that I have in line for you, but in order for you to get it, there must be an encounter and an impartation. See, one thing about God, God does not just want to just give you an encounter, he wants to leave you with something. To your neighbor, there's never a time when God will have an encounter with you and not leave you with something. That's why I wish I could, and the Lord knows, and I wish I knew what happened between Jesus and Simon of Cyrene. You may have heard me say it before, but I wish I knew what the conversation was, because when they drug Cyrus of Cyrene out of the crowd, minding his own business, he was not even there for that. He was there to pay his taxes, and someone pulled him, oh my God, for a divine encounter. And when he picked up the cross, he just didn't pick up the cross, he picked up Jesus. And when he picked up Jesus, good God Almighty, can you imagine the conversation that they were having? There was an encounter, good God Almighty, from on high. There was an encounter with Simon of Cyrene and Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the conversation? Jesus, I know Simon said, come on, bro, I got you. Good God Almighty. Simon was a big old brother. He picked up Jesus, and while he had Jesus on one side, he grabbed the cross on the other. He said, Lord God Almighty, I don't know what's going on right now, but if they doing this to you, good God Almighty, you must be somebody. Hallelujah. You must be somebody who can bless me. And I can imagine the conversation, because there's no way that Simon of Cyrene can help Jesus like that and Jesus not return the favor. Good God Almighty, even though Jesus was in the condition that he was in, he was battered and bruised, beaten and bleeding, naked, but naked, almost naked. They say almost naked, carrying just something wrapped around him. And could you imagine a man, Simon of Cyrene, did not even know Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Did not even know Christ. Did not even know what the situation was. But he understood when they pulled him out the crowd. He said, no matter what my situation is, I'm here now. And if this is a forced encounter, well, I'm having a forced encounter. And so Simon of Cyrene looked at the man Jesus and found compassion in his heart. And when he found compassion in his heart, Simon of Cyrene said, don't hit him no more. Don't hit him no more. Leave him alone. I'll carry his cross for him. I'll get him to his destination. And one thing about encounters with God, when God gives you an encounter, he's going to get you to your destination. When God gives you an encounter, it doesn't matter who's in the crowd. When God gives you an encounter, there will be an exchange. There's going to be an exchange. Tell your neighbor, in my next encounter, there's going to be an exchange. So here is Simon. Simon picks up Jesus and said, Jesus, I can just imagine the conversation, because Simon is looking at Jesus, bleeding, oh my God, weak and thirsty. And I'm sure Simon said, come on, I'll grab you. And there's no way in the world that this man, Simon of Cyrene, could grab Jesus and there not be a conversation. Grab Jesus and there not be an exchange. Oh, wait a minute. There was an exchange. Because when Simon grabbed Jesus, Jesus' blood got on Simon. When Simon grabbed Jesus, Jesus' blood, hallelujah. I feel like running. I feel like lifting him up. So you telling me the encounter was a blood encounter. Hallelujah. A blood encounter. The songwriter says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that was the conversation. Jesus didn't have to say nothing. But what Jesus gave Simon in the encounter, an impartation of the blood. And if you got an impartation of the blood, that's all the conversation you need. Because if the blood is on you, you're covered. If the blood is on you, you're healed. If the blood is on you, you'll be delivered. If the blood is on you, you'll come through. If the blood is on you, you'll have strength. If the blood is on you, you will know that this day is not gonna be the same day. I can imagine Simon Cyrene saying, this day is the best day of my life. It was bloody, but good. It was bloody, but good. I got an impartation. Tell your neighbor, we gotta go. But there's nothing like a bloody impartation, because the bloody impartation will change your life. An encounter. A bloody encounter. That's why some of you, we begin to talk about the bloody encounter of Jesus. Some of you feel the same way. The songwriter said, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. Bloody encounter. If you ever gonna change your life, let the blood, a bloody encounter, a bloody impartation, it'll fix whatever you need God to do. It'll fix it in a hurry. Hallelujah. A bloody encounter. A bloody encounter. A bloody encounter. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, you. Yes, you. A bloody encounter. A bloody encounter. Because when the blood get on you, when the blood gets on you, it reaches, they say, to the highest mountain. It flows, they say, to the lowest valley. It's a, hallelujah. It gives me strength from day to day. And I heard somebody say, it'll never, oh, it'll never lose its power. It'll never lose its power. And if it'll never lose its power, you will never lose its power. If it has strength, you will have strength. If, hallelujah. If you have glory, it'll have glory. If it says praise, you will have praise. It'll never tell your neighbor, neighbor, I have had a blood encounter. I have a blood impartation, and it's causing me to clap my hands, and it's causing me to stand up and wave. It's causing me to run down the aisles. It's causing me to act crazy. I know they don't understand why you wave your hands. They don't understand why you do your dance. But tell your neighbor, I've had an encounter with God. And the encounter, hallelujah, woo! I've had an encounter with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody in the building that's glad about the encounter? Because I can just imagine what Simon and Cyrene, I know I'm done, but that thing gets to me. How Simon didn't even know what was going on. And they pulled that brother out of the crowd. He wasn't even from that county. He wasn't even from there. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But because he was there, God said, I'm going to use this moment. I'm going to use a moment to give you a bloody impartation of what is to be. And when Jesus laid his blood on him, Jesus laid his hands on Simon, and there was an encounter and an impartation when he laid his hands on me.